How's it going, everybody? NHL Fantasy on Ice. Talking on this Monday morning, May 4th. We're already into the month of May. Robbie, how you doing, my friend?
I'm feeling good, Pete, and welcome back. Congratulations on baby Luke. How's it being a dad, Pete?
It's pretty amazing. It's definitely a balancing act, but it's really fun. I mean, it's even more fun than I could have imagined, for sure. And, you know, it changes my routine a little bit, but, you know, happy to be back with you guys and talking pucks and seeing how things are shaking out here. I mean, I know you guys did a couple of great episodes. Anybody who hasn't checked them out, it was Robbie, it was Dave Satriano, James Harding did a couple of episodes on Keeper and Dynasty Leagues. And of course, Robbie, we look at some of these signings from Europe, from the KHL, from Finland. I mean, what's jumping out to you from a fantasy standpoint for like longer term leagues?
Well, before Robbie gets to that, Petey, let's just check in. You got some bags under your eyes. You look a little weary, a little tired. I know it must be tough being a new dad, but I mean, get your rest. Hopefully the wife is helping out a little bit. I'm sure she is. I know you're carrying the load a little bit, but you could certainly see, right, Robbie, the eyes are drooping a little bit, right? A little tired.
Well, I'd be lacking sleep too with an infant in the house. So I can't even imagine, but yeah, Pete, I mean, it's exciting, right? Like, even though the games are paused, there's still been some news. And I think the one that really jumps out to me is Sorokin. We broke it a little bit down on the Keeper League podcast, but I want to get your thoughts, Pete. What is your initial reaction to Sorokin signing with the Islanders?
Well, I think one of our buddies, Nick Albergo, like one of his first reactions was like, how do you compare his value and his upside to the two other young Russian rookie goalies from this past season, Ilya Samsonov and Igor Shesterkin? Now, clearly, when you look at the surface, the Islanders don't have anywhere near the offensive firepower of the Rangers or the Capitals. That said, they do have Barry Trotz. They've had an elite timeshare 2 years running now. And I think this gives them an opportunity for the first time in maybe like two decades to have an elite number one option. And I think as early as his first season, that's what we could see. We could see it start maybe with him in the AHL or start with him in a timeshare with Varley, but it could end with what we're seeing now, like from Shesterkin.
Now, I know
Sorokin could be like number one clear cut for the next like 5 to 10 years for this team.
I agree. I just don't know if it's going to be next year. I think Trotz is normally a guy that doesn't love playing rookies a lot, whether it's a rookie forward, rookie defenseman. He always, every year, has a rookie watch. Now, I do think, though, the goalie position is a bit different, right? Because you saw Shesterkin with the Rangers. They weren't playing that well when they called him up. All of a sudden, he gets called up. Their offense clicks, their defense clicks. They're a different team. So I think that we will see Sorokin start in Bridgeport next season. And then if the Islanders are in a little slump, they need some juice, I'm sure Mitch Korn and Barry Trotz are going to get together and say, we need the young blood in the lineup.
That young blood goaltender is like something you keep in the back pocket if you're the Islanders, right? You have it brewing. And if you have a flatline scenario, you go to Sorokin, almost like what the Rangers did with Shesterkin, as Robbie said. I think you guys are absolutely correct. Sorokin, if he's going to play in the NHL next year, have a really difficult time believing he's going to start, you know, game one and be ready to go early in the season. They let him get his sea legs in Bridgeport, Blueport, wherever. Bridgeport. I'm thinking of the Bridgeport Bluefish. I think it's the baseball team that used
to. Yeah, it is.
Right? And so, and that's the way I see Lou Lamb handling the situation.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I mean, I think already you start to look at, and we don't know if the playoffs are going to happen this year. Hopefully they do. It would be Varlamov and Greiss, but Greiss is a UFA after this season. So that's why we're already looking ahead to next season. We're not discounting what Greiss has done for the Islanders under Trotz over the past 2 years, but come on, let's be real, right? I mean, they've been waiting for this guy to come over since they drafted him many years back. He's been an all-star like 5 straight years in the KHL, and they're just excited to finally, hopefully, if and when they get this guy officially signed, that they can just bring him right into the mix as early as next season.
And with draft strategy, Pete, I know one of our favorite moves from this prior fantasy draft was to get a good team tandem on the back end. We were looking at Arizona. We were looking at the Islanders. Teams like that that have a strong one and two. I think now when you look at it, Varlamov will go first in drafts, unless you have some hardcore Islander fans in your fantasy league that do want to take the gamble on Sorokin early. But I think we'll see Varlamov go 1A, and then a couple rounds later to get that insurance for the Islanders tandem, you can feel comfortable taking Sorokin maybe round 9 or round 10, depending on how many Sharks are in your league.
Yeah, I think you make a good point with the diehards being in your league. I mean, anybody knows their league better than anybody on the outside. Like, in most leagues, you would assume you'd be able to get Sorokin because he's in a timeshare, because he's a relatively unknown commodity in the NHL. You would think you'd be able to get him after, say, Darcy Kemper, who is a timeshare but has proven to be an elite goalie over the past 2 years, and also like Pavel Francouz, who's on an elite offensive team in the Avalanche and still has Grubauer to work with. But those are kind of like those timeshare 1A, 1B guys that maybe you would consider Sorokin after, I think.
Now, would you draft Samsonov ahead of Sorokin?
I don't know. It really depends with Braden Holtby. Like, he's a free agent after this season. It's going to boil down to that for me. Right now, I would say definitely Shesterkin is a solidified top 10 goaltender. Then Sorokin is probably in that 12 to 18 range, like we were talking about the other day, Robbie, when we were first breaking this down after his contract expired. Again, he hasn't officially signed with the Islanders yet, but it appears to be a formality from what you're hearing from a lot of the guys in the know. But yeah, I would say right now I'd give a slight edge to Sorokin. But again, if Holtby does not re-sign or something weird happens on that front, you could see Samsonov take that leap in the offseason. We're always looking for those little wrinkles to finalize our rankings. It's still very early.
I don't think the Capitals are going to keep Holtby. What do you think, Rob? I don't think that makes sense, to be frank. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but why are you going to pay Holtby all this money when you have Samsonov, you know, in the weeds ready to go? It feels like they've been grooming him. Samsonov is ready, and it's time to cut the cord with Holtby. You agree with that, Rob?
The Capitals need to move on from Braden Holtby. He's provided them with a great 8 years, great stats, Vezina quality goaltending. But look at the past two regular seasons. The numbers have come down, and for whatever reason, you know, I think that Capitals team would benefit from playing in front of a young netminder. It's going to keep them in check. It's going to keep them fighting in games when they normally kind of tail off and hang Holtby out to dry. I think it's a culture change. And Bob, I really do believe in Ilya Samsonov for the future of the Capitals.
No, it's weird how this season has transpired, right? Like, Samsonov was so good to start the year, and then he kind of got, like, not banished, but he's not playing nearly as often since January 1st. And then his numbers have declined since then. So everything was trending in the direction of, like, Samsonov maybe taking over the reins next season. But then you have that like shadow of a doubt, I think, based on how the second half of the season was materializing with Holtby bouncing back a little bit. But Samsonov definitely outperformed him for the season at large. And it wasn't even a question over the first, 3 months of the season, Rob.
I agree with that. Sort of tricky how it all sort of played out. But to me, this is, and I'm not a cap specialist, okay, but this is all dollars and cents and value and where you want to put your money and invest in a player. And I just don't see them investing all that money in Holtby, who's on the downside of his career, when they have Samsonov, you know, chomping at the bit, ready to go as a youngster. Just that's what I believe.
And below Samsonov's, they have Vitek Vanacek in the AHL, who's performing quite well down there. So he might make a serviceable backup like Grubauer did for them a couple seasons ago. And yeah, Bob mentioned the dollar signs. Imagine allocating those dollars to two quality third and fourth defensemen to put in front of Samsonov. His numbers are going to look a hell of a lot better after the Capitals defense collapsed, like you mentioned, Pete, around January.
No doubt. So Sorokin's 24 years old. We've known this name for a long time. There's another guy, though, coming over from Russia. His agent tweeted it out this morning, so seems like it's pretty much official. Alexei Melnichuk from the KHL, 21-year-old goaltender, is expected to sign with the San Jose Sharks. That's a team that has needed a goaltender for a very long time. That has been the missing piece. What are your general impressions on this team and how different they look with Melnichuk in the fold,
Rob? Well, his KHL stat line passes the eye test, 1.68 goals against average and a .930 save percentage, Pete. The stats indicate if they get anything above a .905 save percentage, in net. They are a winning team. That's been the plague for them with Arundel and Martin Jones, who has fallen off the fantasy radar. So I do think this Alexi kid is going to come in, stabilize things. Now, it's going to be a very much a pressure situation with Sorokin. It's not a pressure situation with Samsonov. It's less pressure. You have probably two maybe better, more complete teams around those guys. With the Sharks, I do worry about their core group of guys, but let's put it this way. It cannot get any worse than Martin Jones.
One thing, though, when we were doing our team resets, and those are available on NHL.com/fantasy, it was like fantasy awards for each of the 31 teams that we went back and went into over this pause. For the Sharks, one thing that jumped out to me, I mean, clearly they didn't really have many surprises on the roster this year, and they had so many injuries. One surprise, though, that I found, and it's not really a good look for your overall outlook. So they had, like, what, the best penalty kill in the league, and Arundel and Martin Jones were both top 10 in the NHL in penalty kill save percentage. So that showed me maybe it could get worse if those guys are not performing at that high of a level. So the Sharks had so many things go wrong. Everybody knows about it. We talked at length about it. Carlson out for the season, Hurdle out for the season. Sounds like both of them are going to be ready for the start of next season if and when it happens. So I think that this gives them a glimmer of hope and a piece to solidify their biggest position of weakness, which is huge. It sounded like many teams were in the running for this guy, Melnichuk, and the fact that they could get him speaks that maybe the window might still be a little couple of inches open.
Now, the window is always there where they could put him in the AHL to start. Like, you have to preface by saying that. I can't imagine that happens, Pete, in any universe. You know, I would see him maybe riding the pine for a bit to start, but in the NHL. So if you're looking to draft him in a deeper league, I'm thinking maybe round 10 or 11. I would not wait to take him as a number one goaltender option. That would be a bit foolish. But if you've got him as your number two, that's a bit risky. I would feel comfortable putting him in as a number three with upside.
Yeah, number three or even number four. I mean, let's say you draft an elite goalie like in the first four or five rounds, and then you solidify a tandem like the Islanders tandem or the Coyotes tandem or something like that. And then you look deep in the draft, like one of your final picks. I think that Melnichuk will probably be out there just because of how bad the Sharks were this season. I don't think that that's going to wear off anytime soon. So I think there's really good value in this player as a deep sleeper. Maybe he'll be on your deep sleeper list come next season. Right, Rob?
Exactly, Pete. Now, speaking of deep sleepers, the KHL signings continue. We had the Maple Leafs actually pick up an all-star defenseman from the KHL, Mikko Lehtinen. Interesting signing there. What do you make of that, Pete?
Yeah, I think it's good for Toronto. I mean, it's kind of similar to the Sharks where they don't have a lot of money to spend. They have other players to pay. This offseason, especially Toronto, they got to be wary of the cap. And I think that this slots in. He led the KHL in scoring among defensemen, which is a big thing. And, there are a lot of good Finnish defensemen out there. So I think this is a good move for them. Toronto has a great short-term outlook, pretty strong long-term outlook. But I think that, you can get – it's a one-year entry-level contract, and they did sign him as a free agent. So, the fact that he wanted to come there and they wanted him, it just made sense across the board. He shoots left, so he could slot into their top four. I wouldn't be surprised at all. That's like an upside signing, and it's a wrinkle that I think Toronto can use to its advantage because it's going to be even more difficult when all these big contracts set in, and they're going to be strapped for cash.
Now, I'm curious what this means for Tyson Barry. Is the writing on the wall there?
Yeah, that hasn't really worked out as well as we had hoped, right, Robbie? I mean, I think Tyson Barry, his value was a lot higher. I'll say that again, a lot higher when he was with the Avalanche, when he was a power play marksman, when he was the single guy before Cale Makar came. I mean, that was not even a question that he was a top 15 fantasy defenseman. I don't think you can say that he's a top 15 fantasy defenseman moving forward after what we've seen kind of get exposed this season in Toronto. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the outs in Toronto whenever free agency sets in. Again, that's one of those other timetables that we're not sure, like, when is the free agent period going to be? When is the draft going to happen? Is the draft going to happen before the playoffs happen? That could bode in a different way for Tyson Barrie. And I think Tyson Barrie will be attractive to other teams out there. So, yeah, I don't see him being with the Leafs next season, honestly.
And the good news here for Tyson Barrie, Pete, is that he is a right shot defenseman hitting the UFA market every single season, right shot defenseman bringing top dollars. So that's good news for them. For Toronto, though, it's interesting because they have Jake Muzzin's contract bumping up another $1.5 million after this season. So they really don't have any dollars to play with. So I think that this is a good, likely top four destination for the signing. It's just hard for me to really say with any confidence that this is going to be a major difference maker, because we had Morgan Rielly a season ago be a 70-point defenseman quarterbacking that power play. I think Sheldon Keefe already has him penned in on that power play unit for next season. And that, to clarify, that is a 2-minute power play unit. That is not a 1-minute switch, next guy comes on. That is a full 2-minute power play unit. So that's going to give Morgan Rielly infinite value. But I think, you know, for this KHL defenseman, nothing more than a last round flyer for me right now.
The chances of him getting on power play one are pretty slim, like 25% or lower, with Rielly also in the picture, Muzzin still in the picture. And they did the right thing by signing Muzzin compared to Tyson Barrie, no question about that. But, yeah, I think Toronto is in a tough situation. We said it coming into this year. I know you were high on them. This was kind of a year that you could look at their season, their outlook, and say they have a ceiling of winning the whole thing. And if they don't, it's going to get a lot tougher starting next year and the years beyond. And also the pressure, of course, when you look at highly paid players across the roster, the fact that the Raptors just won last year, it just keeps getting worse and worse in terms of the pressure and media scrutiny for Toronto.
And the last thing I want to say here about the Leafs is there hasn't really been a comparable team that has signed five or six guys to those top dollar forward contracts. We've never really seen that shake out. So I don't think you can really make a comparison saying, oh, they remind me of this team, or oh, they remind me of that team. This is the Leafs' identity. They've made their bed with these forwards, and now they've got to start winning. So we'll keep an eye on that. But Pete, also Ottawa Senators made some KHL signings as well at the defenseman position. Any of those guys stand out as someone you'd take a flyer on?
Definitely the goalie in Colorado. I think it just makes a murky situation even more intriguing in terms of upside for the long term. I know that this Artem Zub for Ottawa can factor in and help them rebuild, and him and Shabbat. It's a good outlook for that team that I think exceeded everybody's expectations this year. But really, you're grasping at straws if you're looking for an Ottawa Senators player next season to put your fantasy team over the top. So, yeah, back to Colorado. Their goaltender from Finland that they picked up, I just think that he could be like their goalie of the future. And as much as Francois got re-signed because he played well, Philip Grubauer is under contract well past this coming season. I think that this kid can really be like the goaltender, like the number one, like kind of like Sorokin, like just a longer term piece that they can turn to. See, Sorokin to me, I know Bobby was talking about how, you know, how quickly would they factor him in. I think that there's more pressure on the Islanders to factor in Sorokin than the Avalanche to throw their Finnish goalie into the fire. That's a long-term piece. Islander fans and people around that franchise have been waiting for Sorokin for far too long, to be honest, I think.
I'm curious to see what this kind of means for Grubauer. I don't know what Joe Sakic's long-term plan is. I don't know if there's intel on Grubauer. Maybe the injuries have maybe made them a little bit pessimistic towards his future outlook. For me, I'm a little bit worried about that. We already saw when Francois was in the lineup, like they didn't skip a beat. There was no difference to that team whatsoever. Yep. Just as much goal support, just as much defense play too. So yeah, Grubauer now in drafts next season, I don't think this is going to hurt his stock in the immediate future, but I really am curious beyond next year what that says for Grooby Dooby Doo.
Yeah, where do we have Grubauer? We have him in like the 15-20 range or something, behind Francois, I'm pretty sure. So that's not a great endorsement. And I think people that have watched that team very closely know that he's been underwhelming this season. This was supposed to be his full-fledged breakout. They've had the offensive support of their goaltenders when they've been up, when they've been down, when they've been in between, when they've had injuries to the forward group. Significant injuries, like two of your three best players out for a long period of time. And we saw the glimpse of it from Grubauer in the postseason last year, but really underwhelming season for Grubauer in terms of his consistency this year.
Now, for guys that are potentially going to return from injury, Pete, that could make a difference in your fantasy league, we had a good update on both Steven Stamkos and Chris Kreider. Each of those guys returns value in their own right. I'm going to start with Kreider here. You cannot find a better player to pick up for a fantasy championship window. The Rangers are right in the thick of playoff contention. Every single one of their games, if and when the season resumes, is meaningful. So I would say Chris Kreider, put your chips all in on that player.
Yeah, the exposure to Zibanejad, that's something that's going to be here for the long term now after Kreider re-signed. He was a potential 2020 UFA, but they re-signed him rather than trading him before the deadline. I think that was a good move that's going to pay off for them. This window of the pause allowed him to heal from his broken foot, which is great news. And I think Kreider is that blend of speed, goal scoring, toughness. I mean, he brings the toughness for the Rangers when few other players do, other than like Brendan Lemieux. So he has that clear element of value for the Rangers short and long term. And yeah, I just think I hope the Rangers get in the playoffs because they were one of the most exciting teams. They were top five in points percentage since January 1st. Like you said, it corresponded with Shesterkin's rise from the minors, and even when he missed time because of injury, that was a lethal offense. That was a fun team to watch. I hope that it doesn't come down to like divisional standing and they maybe let the top six teams in, because then of course the Rangers are the seventh best team in the eight team Metro division and they would miss. So when I saw that like report floating around, I was like, that would be a tragedy if the Rangers got left out over a team that's like 10 or 15 points behind them in the standings, you know?
And for Stammer, like, I'm just a little bit – I'd pump the brakes if you're expecting Stammer to be the difference maker for you in your fantasy championship window. Here's why. The Lightning are comfortably in second place in the Atlantic Division. It would be very hard for them to catch the Bruins in first. I think they're actually better seeded in the second position there anyway. These Eastern wildcard teams are a little sneaky, especially if New York does slide in, Pete. Mm-hmm. So I think Stammer, and besides, with his age and injury history, what is the point of John Cooper throwing this guy out there for 20 minutes a night for like the, whatever, five, six games that are remaining? There's absolutely no point and no logic to that. In fact, it would make more sense and you could make a better argument for sitting Stammer until the playoffs.
Yeah, Rob, the Lightning are a team looking ahead to a potential window to resume the season and go towards the playoffs. Like, I really don't know what to expect from that team. Of course, on paper, you would look at, okay, they're getting Stamkos back from this long-term core muscle surgery, and that was like what Crosby dealt with earlier in the season. So I think that it's a good thing for sure of their championship hopes, because that's what the Lightning are all about. Like, are they finally going to get it done here? Stamkos has never won the cup before. But I think I have my worries about this team, and I just don't know that this pause and everything bodes well for them. That's just like my gut instinct.
Well, do we have any idea how teams are going to react to this pause? I mean, when the puck drops on the season, if it does drop on the season, whenever that may be, let's say end of June, July, I mean, we're sitting here right now in the beginning of May trying to figure out how teams are going to react to this. Me and Robbie were talking about it before we dropped the puck on this show, you know, players trying to find their motivation, you know, whether you're in or you're out of it, you know, getting your sea legs, you know, playing during a time of year when they normally don't play. Everything is thrown off. So it's completely wide open. No one has any idea how this is all going to shake out. And the one thing I'll say, you know what I would like to do? I would like to do a fantasy redraft if we start the season. You know what I mean? Start fresh. Forget about the players that we drafted, you know, beginning of the season. You could finish those leagues out if you want, but I want to start fresh and do a fantasy redraft if the season does, you know, begin at some point in the end of June. Start from scratch, draft your team, and away you go.
I'm nixing that idea. No way. No way I'm going near that with a 10-foot pole, Bobby. I am proud of the team that I drafted, and I'm even proud of the team that I auto-drafted because I forgot to draft but made waiver wire moves all throughout the season. So I'm going to say no to that.
I'm excited for, like, playoff pool drafts because, honestly, when I look ahead to what might be to come, I don't really think about that tail end of the regular season. To me, it's all about the playoff buildup, and we could have a really nice window of 3 to 4 weeks, you know, to build the anticipation and do playoff pool drafts. So that's what I'm really excited about. And you can still, it's kind of like mashing what you two are talking about. Like Robbie thinks the regular season is separate from, and fantasy is, you know, should be preserved from what you did early in drafts in September, October. But at the same time, Bobby's like, has a point where, you know, it's all about the anticipation, the resurgence of interest in sports and hockey. And you got to do a draft when you come back, man. You got to do a draft heading into the playoffs, right?
It would be fun. I've been looking at that, and I, you know, I'd have a fun time doing that. What I look forward to the most is, and we can dream, that the season's going to come back, and at some point in the summer we're going to play. But I dream of the multiple games a day from the same arena, NCAA tournament style, you know, staggered start times. We're whipping around the country or North America to go to this game or that game. And I just think if you could slot it correctly in programming and for TV purposes, that's what I'm looking forward to most. You know, a bunch of games in one day that old Bob Bender could throw some lettuce on from, you know, sun up to sundown, and away we go. Have some fun.
And it would be cool, too, to have them at different times, like staggered, right, where everybody's watching the same game. I know that's always an issue because there's, like, so many games going on during the regular season on a 12-game night. And even in the playoffs, like the opening round, there are 3 or 4 games going on at once. I would love nothing more than to just watch a single game with all our buddies. We could all dissect it and have our attention paid fully. So, like, if we had, like, a triple header or something – on a given night, I think that would be a money idea.
I think that sounds pretty swell to me. Anything else, boys, on the docket before we wrap it?
Well, I mean, we're still churning out the content on NHL.com, right, Robbie? I mean, we'll have this Sorokin reaction whenever it becomes official. But one of the things we were talking about, top 5 call-ups of the season. I mean, we've talked so much about Shesterkin. He was number 1 on the list. But Kyler Yamamoto was another one. I mean, what do you think about what you've seen from this player? Is he just a product of Leon Draisaitl, or is he something bigger than that?
Well, he's got the pedigree, right? I mean, he put up great numbers in junior. So I wouldn't pass over and just say he's a product of Draisaitl. But let's face facts. I mean, anybody on a 100-point line wing is going to be a product of that player, just inherently. I think Yamamoto has the skill. He's a bit undersized, so I don't think he's going to be winning a lot of those corner battles. Nonetheless, he's going to put up points. If that's a guaranteed 55-point player, and I'm taking him in round 10, 11, or 12 of a fantasy draft, you'd be crazy to pass up on that. And, Pete, I'll double down on that and say that's probably a pretty conservative stacking option if you're looking for depth later rounds. You have an either McDavid or a Draisaitl or even a Nugent Hopkins that are all going to have that first power play exposure to Yamamoto. I think he's going to be a great beneficiary of that, and a nice little tandem you could pick up late in drafts.
Petey, give me the top 5 call-ups before we go. I hadn't seen that article. I want to digest that. What do we got?
You'll like number 3, Bobby. So it's Shesterkin 1, Yamamoto 2, Gurianov 3, and then Chris Driedger and Cal Peterson. And we'll also give a stick tap to Elvis, who had played 2 games in the AHL, but they were like separated by weeks. So we didn't really take him into account here, but yeah, Gurianov has played well regardless of lineup placement. And just to piggyback off what you said about Yamamoto, Rob, I think that guy will definitely be available outside the top 100 overall, maybe even like 125. He's a guy you look at as like full-fledged breakout fantasy candidate for next season. And to me, I appreciate what this player has done because McDavid and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins, when they played together, you know, you thought of Draisaitl as – this player. Then now you think of Draisaitl as maybe the top player in all of fantasy after this season. And what's the difference? He actually played more often away from McDavid. So what does that tell you about Draisaitl's maturation, how he's been able to play even better when he's away from McDavid at even strength? And one of the big reasons for that is Yamamoto, who started the season in the AHL and has been a fantasy home run. So I really have a ton of respect for what Draisaitl has done away from McDavid and how Yamamoto has helped him get there.
Last comment from Bobby and then Robbie and then put a bow on it. For sure, happy to hear Gurianov's name. The other player on that call-up list who I think is going to turn out pretty well is Cal Peterson. I don't know why. I just have a sense, almost like a Tom Brady sense. You know, he's calm in between the pipes, not to that level, but a guy who is young, who comes up, makes a difference, calm, cool, collected. I like Cal Peterson as well.
And I think, too, the Kings' future outlook really isn't that bad. They've got a lot of good prospects. It's just a matter of time for them. So as long as they surround Peterson with a couple decent players next season on the back end, I think we're looking at another good situation for your future prediction, Bobby.
And they got Turcotte coming soon, hopefully. And, of course, some prospects, like you mentioned, that they've acquired in some of these deals over the past two seasons. You know, Toffoli, Muzzin, Jack Campbell. There have been a lot of guys that they've sold off for the future, with the future in mind. So, yeah, and one thing to remember about the Kings, there weren't many teams that were hotter than the Kings before this pause. They won seven games in a row. They're really starting to turn it into the right direction. And all of a sudden you have a tandem of Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson. You never know. Crazier things have happened than to see the Kings get back into contention next season. Wouldn't be shocked.
I think I hear Luke crying in the background. I think you got to go change a diaper, Petey. So let's put a bow on it. It was great to see you guys here on Zoom, hear from you guys. You know, we're just doing our best churning out the content we can based on the circumstances. So appreciate you guys taking the time. Folks listening, thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks, guys. Nice to be with you today. And thanks for the listeners, too, for your patience and support. Tap the 5 stars, give us a little review, and don't forget, we're always available on Twitter. If you've got questions, I'm at NHL Reese. We've got Petey at NHL Jensen, and Bobby at Airchecked.
Yeah, feel free to always hit us up, talk pucks, talk keeper leagues. We're always open to any creative ideas you guys have. And, of course, check out the other podcasts in the podcast network, especially Draft Class, because if the draft is going to happen maybe earlier than I anticipated, they got some great content going on right now with Mike Morial and Adam Kimmelman. And you got to binge listen to those episodes, especially if there's a tighter window than we expected you.
Thanks for the old paparoonie there, Pete. Adam Kimmelman, Mike Morial certainly do a wonderful job, and they appreciate the pop anytime they get it. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, Bobby. Thanks for listening to everybody out there, and we'll check back again with you soon here on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Appreciate you listening.